Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Could you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes, yes. My name is Iasos, that's I-A-S-O-S, and I am a music creator. I specialize in heavenly, interdimensional, celestial music. I also do visuals sometimes. And I'm being interviewed right now by the lovely Francesca Mariano. Grazie Mariano.
Grazie a te. Thank you for being here with us. So what is creativity to you?
Channeling your higher self.
What do you mean by that?
Well, each person is an extension of their higher self. When their higher self wants to have an experience in place, it creates a projection of itself, of a small part of itself, into a particular point in time and space, and then you end up having an incarnation. Like you are a projection from your higher self, I'm a projection from my higher self, and each higher self has many projections all over the place in time, all over the place in space, because from the point of view of your higher self, there is no time, it all exists now. So I could have another incarnation, my higher self could have another incarnation that's 4,000 years in the past or 5,000 years in the future in another universe of this. It could be anywhere, you know. And so imagination is the tube, the funnel, the pipeline, the wire through which your higher self talks to you. So creativity is receiving ideas from your higher self through this pipeline of imagination.
Okay. And what are your main musical influences when it comes to making music? And if you could also list a few songs, I thought like three songs that are not yours that have had impact or that you love in your journey as a person and as a musician.
Okay, first question. My primary influence is not from earth music. It's from a higher dimensional being that I work with, whose name is Vista. He's a very high level being. I love him very much. And at a certain point in my life, I had a profound experience, one of the most profound experiences in my life, where I suddenly became aware of Vista. And the instant I became aware of him, it triggered a memory that he and I had agreed to work together, and we made this agreement before I was born. The agreement was I would incarnate on earth, I would be born, and he would project music ideas to me, and I would do my best to manifest them and get them out there as regular music. And the whole point of this is to create music to help people connect with their higher self, to help people raise their vibration, to help people stay with the earth as the earth itself is now raising its vibration, to help people connect to higher celestial planes of existence filled with much more love, much more harmony, much more beauty. So that is my main influence. It has nothing to do with earth music.
Okay.
In terms of what earth music I like, there's some classical composers that I like very much. I like Claude Debussy. I like Ravel. I like Respighi for classical composers. And for conventional music, I like the music of John Serry. I like the music of Kevin Kendall, K-E-N-D-L-E. And for rhythmic stuff, I like Brazilian samba. I like Santana.
Yeah.
So I love that kind of stuff. And what else? I love Martin Denny. When I was a young boy, the first record I ever bought with my own music is Martin Denny. And later I realized that Martin Denny is one of those few musicians that is, you see, most music, like classical Western music, is very evolved in terms of harmony, chords. Yeah. They don't know anything about rhythm. And other music is very simple with harmony, but have a very sophisticated sense of rhythm. For example, African music and Brazilian music, pretty simple on the harmony, but they have a wonderful, sophisticated sense of rhythm. Western music is the opposite. No sense of rhythm at all, but wonderful harmony. Well, Martin Denny music was very involved with both of these. Also Les Baxter that I learned later. Harmony. Les Baxter and Martin Denny have evolved sense of harmony and rhythm, so I like it a lot.
Well, my experience is not as a musician, but as a dancer, and I feel like in many areas of like contemporary electronic music, in Western music, there is an evolving sense of rhythm that brings together electronic music with the ancient African music. There is like a growing scene that bridges together this organic African rhythmic, also almost like trance-like music,
yes,
to the electronic underground scene.
Yes.
And do you have any opinion about...
Well, in general, I'm just generalizing, there are exceptions,
mm-hmm,
but in general, it's quite sophisticated in rhythm, but not very sophisticated in harmony.
Okay.
Just a general average statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, there's a difference between stiff time and a real drummer. There's a thing called groove.
Mm-hmm.
In stiff time, you exactly divide time into equal intervals, like the four beats, boom, 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 boom. You could have four subdivisions of each beat, so it could be daga 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 daga. And with drum machines, you divide each of those equally, daga 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 daga. But a real drummer does not do that. For a four-beat cycle or an eight-beat cycle, it's breathing. The time to it slightly speeds up, slightly slows down, very subtly.
Mm.
Well, that creates a groove, which real drummers have. Now, it's possible with modern electronic equipment to superimpose a groove on electronic music, but if you don't do that, then it's stiff time. It divides time equally, which is doesn't make your body really, really want to move, except in a very mechanical robot type of way. But real drummers, actual drummers, human being drummers, they don't divide time equally. They have a groove. Each beat has a certain groove, like they might, for example, in Mexican music, just before the second beat and the fourth beat, the 16th note, just before the second beat and the fourth beat, will be close to the second beat and close to the fourth beat. They'll be closer to like that. And so it's not equally divided time, and that creates a very lifelike pulse that makes you really want to move to it, which you don't get with stiff time. And I define stiff time as making each 16th note exactly the same amount of time. That's very mechanical, very robot-like.
Okay, so what's your... Do you have any... Sorry. What's your perspective on contemporary electronic music?
Well, that's a big world. There's all kinds of music. I love some of it. I don't like some of it.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. So,
but you are
too big a question to answer. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
As a musician interested in the healing effects of sound.
Yes.
What do you think that there is? What do you think is the effect that some underground and very...
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Well, here's how it works. Once I was having a channeling with a ascended master whose name is Saint Germain.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Saint Germain, what kind of music do fairies like? And he gave me a very interesting answer. He said, fairies like music created by a balanced soul. Now that's very profound. Now in terms of healing music, and your intention has a lot to do with it. For example, there are many musicians now focusing on healing music, like Jonathan Goldman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There are many who make a whole career out of just creating healing music. In my case, my focus was not healing music. My focus was beauty. But then people say, thank you for the healing. So I learned that healing is an automatic byproduct, a spin-off of beauty. So I focus on beauty, and people say, thanks for the healing. Other people focus on healing directly. So if the musician's intention is healing, then there's a good chance it will have that effect. If the focus intention is not on that, then it depends on the heart behind the music. If it's a loving heart that's creating the music, it'll have a healing effect. If it's a negative heart, meaning an angry heart or a fearful heart or a depressed heart, it will not have a healing effect. So the heart that creates the music will determine whether it's healing or not. Basically, the more harmonious and loving and happy the person is, the more uplifting and healing the music will be. Real simple.
And what about music that would be like rock music or that could be defined as angry? Do you think that there is some sort of useful release in that music? Because a lot of people...
I know, that's the argument. And a lot of people say, yes, well, I'm feeling angry, so I like listening to angry music.
Because it helps you releasing those kind of emotions.
Yeah, now you can say it releases that anger, or you can say it reinforces the anger.
Mm.
You can argue that either way. Now, in some cases, it might release the anger, But I suspect that in most cases, it reinforces it, makes it deeper, more deeply rooted, so it's a stronger, louder part of your energy field. Mm-hmm. You see, each emotion is on a particular frequency, and intensity is different than frequency. Intensity is how intensely you feel that emotion. Mm-hmm. And negative emotions are in lower frequencies, harmonious emotions are in higher frequencies. Mm-hmm. And so hate and anger are very low frequency. Being frozen in fear is zero frequency. That's as low as you can get. Mm-hmm. And there's a frequency which is in the middle between negative and positive. That's the borderline. That's like a melancholy or boredom. It's like the cross point. And if you get higher frequency than that, then you're in positive emotions. So negative emotions are very finite, limited frequency range. It's from that border to zero frequency. That's a limited range. Whereas harmonious emotions just go up and up and up and up and up to infinity with no upper limit. You can have the emotion of feeling glad. And if you double the frequency, which means one octave higher, then you have happiness. And if you go one octave higher, you have joy. One octave higher, ecstasy. One octave higher, rapture. And it just keeps going. There's no limit to that. Now, angels, their average emotional state is about 3 octaves higher than what we call rapture. Their normal emotions are much more ecstatic than anything we humans normally feel. That's their normal, their average, you know, that they live there. And there's no upper limit to that.
So do you think that in a way we have been adapted ourselves to anger and feelings and perceiving that that is the normal state and that there is no possibility of achieving.
That's too general a question. Each person is different.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, the nature spirit beings, the elves, the gnomes, the fairies, they're normally very happy, giddy, giddy, happy, happy, happy. They don't understand you humans. Why are you so glum? Why are you so, like, the happiest humans you can imagine by their standards are extremely serious and glum. Hey, why aren't you happy like us? Come on, come on, come on, be happy, be happy, be happy. You know, they don't understand. How are you so serious and glum, you humans? Come on, get with it.
That's the feeling I got when I ate psychedelic mushrooms.
Yeah.
Is that from the spirit of nature?
Of course.
Like laughing a lot about the ridiculousness of life.
Exactly. Now, I do a workshop sometime called Interdimensional Games with Fairies and Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some fairies I work with, some angels I work with all the time with my music.
Mm.
And in this event, the first half of the evening, we do interactive games that are very loving with fairies that we bring in. You know, elves, not just fairies, but all nature spirits, you know, different sizes. They come tiny to huge. And the second half of the evening, we do interactive games with angels.
Mm.
Now, what's interesting is the first half, when the fairies come in, everybody gets very giddy, very happy. Like that, you know? And the second half of the angels, everybody blisses out. They just melt. They just get real. It's like I saw a person lying down on the floor in a baby position, like a prenatal position. We're all curled up, you know? So the angels, they just bliss out. And with the fairies, they just get so excited. Are we still recording?
Yeah, good, just checking. That's amazing. So I have a few questions from our friends from Italy for you.
Wonderful.
First
of all, hi there!
Hi! So, one is, I read that when you started playing your music, or what we now consider as New Age, it was hard to convince people from the industry that you were playing a new kind of music.
Of course.
At this present time, is there something that you consider as new that catches your attention?
No.
Okay. Next question. Are you following contemporary space explorations? Last week, NASA's InSight landed on Mars and sent high-quality pictures in real time. Do you think these technological achievements are revealing something about the mystery of space, or are they just informing humanity's curiosity?
Huh. What the public is told is ridiculous, and it's a big lie. We've had bases on Mars since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Colonies on Mars. There are colonies on Mars. We've had space travel. We've had anti-gravity, free energy, teleportation, space jumping equipment. You know, we've had things like that since the 70s and 80s. What they tell the public is just ridiculous. It's a big, 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 big lie. They don't need rockets. They don't use rockets. They use electrogravitic drives.
What are they?
Well, free energy to it. Well, it's using controlled gravity to get where you want to be.
Okay.
It's like, imagine this. If I let go of a bottle, it'll fall to the floor because gravity pushes it there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say you're in the middle of space and you can create an artificial gravity field then you fall in the direction of the gravity field. Well, they can direct how intense it is and what direction it's going in, so they can fall in any direction because they're creating their own gravity field.
Mm.
And that's how they do it now with electrogravitic drives. And they've had that rockets are like Model T Ford. It's just ridiculous. It's so old-fashioned. It's not even efficient. Electrogravitic drives are cheaper. They don't use fuel. They have free energy. You know, they don't use fuel. So what they're reporting on Mars is just a huge cover-up. Like NASA, they have specialists with Photoshop that airbrush out all the things that are signs of life there because they don't want people to see that. It's a big lie. It's a big lie. It's a whole cover-up.
Wow.
What was the first part of the question?
The first part said if you're following contemporary space explorations.
Oh, yes.
And if this is revealing something about space or if it's just...
We have colonies. We have colonies. We have space fleets. One space fleet, Solar Warden, is guarding our solar system. And then another space fleet, Radiant Guardian, is guarding the outside of our solar system. We have things that can go anywhere in the galaxy in like a few minutes, and they can hop to other galaxies.
Wow.
I mean, what they have now is just unbelievable, and it's being hidden from the public, but their factions are wanting to reveal it to the public because they have advanced technology that would help us a lot. For example, the soldiers in the secret space program, if they get an arm blown off, they can go to their holographic healing beds, and the next day their arm is back. Their body regrows it because they have equipment that gets a sample of their DNA. They put that in the computer. The computer creates a full replica of their body that's detailed down to the level of each cell. And they put that information in a holographic projector that's also detailed down to the level of each cell. And they project that on the body. And so where the arm is missing, the holograph is there of the whole full arm. And that fools the body into thinking, oh, the arm's there. I'll regrow it. And it regrows it. It takes 4 or 5 hours to regrow an arm. It's ridiculous. And the people that have experienced regrowing missing limbs, like a leg or an arm, they feel terrible that the soldiers here on Earth, they have missing limbs from battle, that they don't have access to this technology. They think it's totally a big crime.
Wow.
That they don't have access to this technology. They have advanced equipment that can bring you back to the young, early 20, 25-year-old version of yourself, the same you, same mind that you have now, the same memories, but your body gets back to the 25-year-old version of you. They have that now. They have that technology now. And they have things that can cure any and all diseases by creating a perfect version of you.
Wow, but that would go a little bit beyond what is our conception
of
health
course.
And mortality.
Of course.
And
of course.
Aging.
Yes, well, no, there's a limit to that also because if you periodically go in that machine to make your body young again, that works until you're about 950 years old, and then the brain gives out, and then you can't fix that. So then you die eventually anyway.
Yeah.
Because the brain can't youth like the rest of the body can. So there's a limit anyway. But the limit is like 950 years instead of 85 years.
Wow.
Yeah. By the way, there are human life forms, one of the common life forms in the galaxy. And many people are asked, why do humans live such a short lifetime? And one of these beings, like Ptah, who's a Pleiadian master, he has a human life form like we do, and their average lifespan is 3,000 years.
Wow.
And they ask him, why do we live so much less on Earth? Is it because our planet's polluted? No. Is it because we eat bad food? No. Why is it? It's because you believe you're supposed to die at 75 or 85 or 90 or 95, so you die. Your beliefs determine how your body behaves.
Yes, I'm making similar studies on like women's health at the moment, and I believe that one of the big reasons that we experience so much pain during the menstruation cycle is because we have been taught that it's supposed to be painful.
Yes. Also birth, likewise.
Yes, and when I started unpacking these beliefs, I realized that a lot of the pain was self-inflicted, basically, and was like... It becomes like a common language that we use
exactly
about something.
It's
and
a thought form that's very prevalent in the everybody just adopts that thought form.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for giving birth. The other human type life forms that experience no pain at all when they give birth.
Mm.
But on Earth, women are programmed, you're supposed to experience intense pain, so you experience intense pain.
So what's your view on feminism and on female...
I love feminism. I love females. I adore females. I love female. I can't live without female energy.
On a spiritual and political level, do you see that there is a big uprising of like female women and especially women from other, not other, let me say it right, from non-European countries are becoming, their voice is being heard now.
Yes, they should be heard too. I consider men and women equal, exactly equal. Now, they have different specialties. The specialty of women is reception, the specialty of men is transmission.
Mm-hmm.
The specialty of women is feelings and emotions, and the specialty of men is logic and thinking. So there's a joke about that. A common complaint women have with their men is, he's so not in touch with his feelings, he doesn't express his feelings to me. And the big complaint that men have with women is, she's so irrational. Well, that's because men specialize in logic and women specialize in feelings. But if you get an extremely evolved soul, they're both highly developed, independent of whether they're in a male body or a female body.
Mm-hmm.
But they're exactly equal.
Yeah.
Neither is superior. They're exactly divinely, perfectly equal.
Amazing. I have another question from our friends in Italy.
Hi there, friends in Italy.
Hi there.
Ciao.
It's also about space and NASA.
NASA is a big lie. Never the same answer.
Okay. He asks NASA used some of your music.
Yes.
Would you still associate yourself with these kind of missions?
Well, anybody who wants to use my music, I'll make it available to anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody, because if the music is uplifting, I want to spread it out as many places as I can. So even though I think they're total liars and they're covering up. Now, most of the people in NASA don't know this because it's highly compartmentalized. Only the top levels know what's really going on and they're hiding. But yes, I want my music to be distributed through as many avenues as possible. So of course, I would still make it available to them because it has an uplifting effect on the planet. Which is why I have this agreement with Vista to work together to create music that has an uplifting effect that helps people raise their vibration.
Wow. Okay, so, and it looks like in America, there is a revival of New Age music now, while in Europe, it's still pretty underground. Why do you think this New Age revival is happening? And why do you think it's happening particularly in this place?
Okay. When our planet, when our planet began rising its vibrations into Golden Age, that rising in frequency started in America. And in America, it started on the west coast of America. Now, on the west coast of America, it started in California. And in California, it started in Marin County. So when the New Age took off, most of the spiritual teachers and painters and musicians were in Marin County.
Were you born here?
I was born in Alexandroupolis, Greece.
And how did you arrive to Marin County?
Okay. When I was 4 years old, my family moved to America. And my father got a license as a doctor. And then we moved to upstate New York. And I was there in a tiny town till the end of high school. Then I went to school at Cornell University. I kept changing my majors at Cornell, which is in the middle of New York State in Ithaca. Eventually, in my third year there, I figured, well, all my creativity is in music. I'll make that my career. So I graduated from Cornell. I got a postgraduate scholarship at the University of Oregon in anthropology, but I didn't want to do that, so I passed that up. And I decided I want to work on music. I knew the place to be for new music is California, so when I graduated from Cornell in June 68, I immediately came to California to work on music.
Wow, golden age, 1968.
Yes, so in the beginning, I had tremendous failure because I work with other musicians and their influence was always to make a conventional earth music, not what I wanted to do. And then at a certain point, a friend of mine made a suggestion, why don't you do it yourself using a multi-track tape recorder? Ding! That's when my career took off.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so why do you perceive this New Age music revival these days? And why do you think there is a revival now?
Simple. The planet is raising its vibrations. Many people, most people, maybe 70%, I don't know the percentage, I would guess more than half, are also raising their vibrations with the planet. As more and more people are raising their vibrations, more and more people are getting receptive to higher dimensional realities, whether it's Reiki energy, or yoga, or New Age music, they're becoming more receptive to this type of stuff. So it's an increasing audience. Demographically speaking, it's an increasing audience.
But do you think that there is any also danger that comes with that? Because it seems like in the past times, this knowledge was accessible to those who did like a big self-inquiry work on themselves. While these days, it's available to a lot of people.
I don't see any danger at all. Self-inquiry is good at any time. Mm-hmm. And any music or spiritual teachings that help you raise your vibration is always good at any time. So I don't understand how there's even the possibility of danger.
I am just questioning.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people of my age are experiencing, it's a time with sorry.
No, you're doing great.
Let's
start
again.
You're doing great.
Okay, we're living in times in which people of my generation are subjects of many different changes on a political level, on a spiritual level.
You ain't seen nothing yet. This next 20 years, it's going to have changes that are so dramatic that what happened so far will feel like it's been standing still.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, you'll see. Wow. All kinds of changes politically, economically, technologically. Pretty soon we're going to be in the Star Trek civilization here.
Whoa.
That already exists, but it's hidden from the public. So it's not a matter of creating something that doesn't exist. It already exists, but they're hiding it from the public.
So what is your definition of crisis? Do you see possibility in crisis? Do you see a creative output from crisis? Because we see crisis and it's like this horrible time, but it's also like a possibility to reinvent ourselves. And
yes, but you don't need a crisis to reinvent yourself. You can reinvent yourself anytime you like.
Mm.
Crisis is a stimulant to reinvent yourself, but you don't need to have a crisis. It's just like some artists think that you can only create great art when you're having struggle in your life, but that's not true. You can create great art when everything's going wonderfully. So you don't need to have crisis in order to evolve.
Okay.
Some people think, you know, you can only evolve when there's pain and suffering. That's a ridiculous belief. That's a limiting belief, disempowering belief. You don't need to accept that. You can have everything be wonderful and still evolve, because even if everything is totally harmonious, there are still always, always challenges. And through the challenges, you can evolve. But the challenges do not mean you need to have struggle and strife and suffering. It doesn't mean you need to have crisis. How can I create even more beautiful architecture? How can I create a more beautiful medical machine? How can I create an even better piece of music? You don't need to have crisis for that.
Okay.
Are you having fun?
So much.
Oh, good.
I'm very challenged by your answers, and I want to ask more because it's
ask
so interesting.
Like. Ask all you like.
So we have another questions from Italian friends.
Okay.
What are your favorite books and films? Is there something that influences your music? We already spoke about.
Well, I can talk about what my favorite. Avatar is my favorite movie.
I love it too.
I think that movie, when it didn't win any Academy Awards, I totally lost
it
all my respect. No, I lost all my respect for the Academy Awards. I thought that was light years ahead of all the other movies
made.
Yes, light years ahead in technological and everything. And so when it didn't win, they gave credit to it because it sold so many copies. You know, it sold a lot of tickets, but that's it. It didn't win any awards. Mm-hmm. And the movies did win awards were ridiculous, nothing movies. And so I lost all respect for the Academy Awards when I saw that. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite movie. I also like John Carter, which is about being on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of my favorites. But sure, Avatar is my favorite. Well, books. Most of what I like book-wise is not really books, but it's information that's available on the internet. And I especially like spiritual teachings from Bashar, who's a E.T. that's channeled through a human called Daryl Anka.
Mm-hmm.
Bashar. And you can go to YouTube and just type in Bashar, Bashar. And then you can listen to him talk. Because for me, it's the most evolved understanding of how reality works that I've come across. Now, I say that with the understanding that there are many different levels of spiritual understanding. And for each level, there are teachers that will bring you one level higher.
Yeah.
So it's not like one spiritual teaching. There are many different levels of spiritual understanding. And for each level, their teachers specialize in bringing you just one level higher than that. And so for the level that I'm at right now, Bashar is wonderful because he's bringing me one level higher. Now, I'm not going to say it's the highest teachings there are, mm-hmm. but for me, it's the highest teachings there are. For where I'm at in my spiritual understanding, it's helped me bring me one level higher. But I know that eventually there'll be other people bring me even higher and higher and higher in terms of teaching, because no matter where you are, there are spiritual teachers already present. Because God sprinkles spiritual teachers on all different levels of understanding.
So the teacher meets you where you are.
No, it meets you a little higher than where you are. So it brings you up to the level they're teaching.
This is amazing information.
Yeah.
I resonate with this.
Good.
And I, for a long time in my spiritual path, I was reading a lot of male literature, but now most of my teachers are women because the experience...
Yeah, well, for me, I don't care if they're male or female. I couldn't care less.
You don't care.
It's like I have a... website,
Yasos. But there is something too mental for me sometimes in the male teachings.
Yeah, yeah.
The women brings you back to like
your
physical body.
I agree. On my website, yasos.com,
mm-hmm.
I have a section for Visionary Artist Gallery where I have many paintings by many what I consider to be masters, not dilettantes or people have art as a hobby, but masters, spent their whole life becoming great masters. And it's about 95% male and 5% female. I've had women write to me, why don't you have more women in there? And I answer, I don't care if they're male or female. I don't have any preference in that. If they're great, I'll put them in there.
Yeah.
And they send me some examples of females. So this one's not good because she's not a great artist. She's just technically, you know, like doing it like a hobby. They're not really masters. And others are just like, and she said, oh, now here's one that is a great female artist, but she's doing negative art. I want to have uplifting art, not negative art, but she's technologically a master, but it's not uplifting art. And so I don't care if they're male. I don't care if they're female. I don't care if they're 100% female. I wouldn't care if they're 100% male. I just want great art, regardless of what gender they are.
Makes sense.
But another thing to keep in mind is, if you go to any museum
mm-hmm.
and look at the paintings, what percent of them are male? Most of them.
Yeah.
Why? Because men tend to specialize, women tend to generalize. Now, that's a generalization in itself.
Yeah.
And of course, there are exceptions to that. But in general, women tend to generalize and men specialize one thing, boom, boom, boom. And that's why it's that way. That's why it's been that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. But I'm just making a generalization based on what's happened so far.
So far.
Yeah.
Now the gender is changing.
All exactly.
Okay.
Isn't this exciting?
It's so exciting. I'm like trying to be serious.
Don't be serious.
Okay. So, in my opinion, there is a distance or a gap, let's say, between the underground music scene in Europe, I'm talking about raves, and the new age spiritual gatherings and knowledge. Do you think that it might be that the European mind is still a little bit stranger to the vocabulary of energy and healing?
I don't know.
You don't know yet?
I don't know. I'm not there. But I will generalize and say this. What type of music a person likes depends on their emotional preferences. Musical preferences is the result of emotional preferences. If you like feeling angry, you like angry music. If you like feeling happy, you will like happy music. So musical preferences really boils down to simply emotional preferences.
Wow. So if someone likes to listen to ambient music, it's because they like to feel relaxed.
Exactly.
And calm.
You got it.
Okay. So when did you first become interested in sound healing?
I've never been interested in sound healing. I'm interested in creating beauty. I'm interested in creating music that has an uplifting effect. The healing is just an automatic byproduct. Okay. I don't focus on healing at all.
Okay, but you say that there is an intention by the musician.
My intention is not healing, it's beauty.
It's beauty.
And here's how it works. Love is the cause, beauty is the result. Beauty is the cause, healing is the result. Love causes beauty, beauty causes healing.
Receiving that. Thank you. So you are considered a pioneer in the field of New Age music. Is there any tradition of sound that you feel particularly inspired by? I'm talking about ancient forms of sound.
I will say this. that in many different cultures, in many different periods of time, all of them use sound to help people connect with divinity or God or the infinite creator. All of them use it. They do it in the different ways. In one society it might be wooden flute, another one might be drums. But all civilizations use sound in one form or another to help people to connect with their own inner God self, their own inner divinity. Now, in my particular case, I have vague memories of other lifetimes where I was a temple musician in ancient Greece and I was a temple musician in ancient Egypt. Wow. So I've been a temple musician quite a few times around. So it's kind of like normal for me. But this time around, I'm just focusing on uplifting, gorgeous, beautiful music. And it heals people. Well, of course it heals people. That's an automatic side effect.
Okay. And do you practice meditation?
Every day. What even form? Today.
Even right now?
No, not right now.
Okay, what form of meditation do you practice?
Transcendental meditation.
What is it like?
Being very still.
So for our listeners who have never practiced meditation, how would you describe
meditation? Okay, well, first of all, with transcendental meditation, you get a mantra and you think the mantra in your mind gets you stiller and stiller. But for those that don't have a mantra, don't worry about it. All you need to do is this. If you sincerely want to meditate, get comfortable with your spine straight, close your eyes, and put your attention on your heart. Not your biological heart, which is on the left side of center, but on the center, your spiritual heart, which is along your spine, about the same height as your nipples, but in the center of your spine. Put your attention there. And keep your attention there. Every second your attention is there, the more aligned you get, the more still you get, the more connected to your own divinity you get. And why is that so? Because your spiritual heart is the anchor point of your own higher self, your divinity anchored in your physical body. So every second your attention is there, all of your systems are getting more in a state of balance. All of your systems. Now, the trouble with humans is short attention span. Most people have trouble keeping the attention there more than 3-5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's like a...
Yeah, but if you can just close your eyes, get comfortable, put your attention on your spiritual heart in the center of your spine, every second your attention is there, you're getting more aligned. You're getting more connected to your own God self, God goddess self. You're getting a higher frequency. And you get more emotionally still. Now, being emotionally still is very important for this reason. Let me explain it with an analogy. If I'm standing in a pond of water, let's say I'm standing in water and the height is between my knees and my waist, you know, halfway up. Mm-hmm. And let's say I want to look. Are we still going? Good. Let's say I want to look at the rocks on the bottom of the water. If there are a lot of waves, I can't see anything. But if the water is very still, I can clearly see every little rock that's down there on the bottom by my feet. See? Well, water corresponds to the emotional body. The same is true. The stiller the water is, the more clearly I can see the rocks. The stiller your emotional body is, the more clearly you can receive ideas, guidance from your higher self, your guardian angels, your guides that work with you, or any divine being you are connected with. So, clarity of inner reception is proportional to emotional stillness. The more still you can become, the more clearly you can perceive. That's why they say in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. Because emotional stillness is a precondition to being able to receive. And the more still you can get, the more clearly you can perceive. Now, ascended masters, higher dimensional beings, they pride themselves. They're very proud of how still they can be. That doesn't mean they need to be still all the time. They can still get joyous and happy, ecstatic, and having a lot of party fun. But when they want to be still, they can become like a glass lake, perfectly, perfectly still. And when you're perfectly still like a glass lake, then the lake is like a mirror. And you can mirror thoughts coming to you from other beings. For example, let's say some trauma is happening in your life, and you're yelling for help from your higher self. What should I do? What should I do? This? Now your higher self can be sending you thoughts, you should do this, but you don't hear it because you're in such emotional turmoil that you don't get it.
Too much noise.
Yeah, too much noise, you don't get it. So the stiller you are emotionally, the less noise there is, the more clearly you perceive, then you, that's what I should do, then you can do it. So the important thing is get emotionally still. Now, when you put your attention on your spiritual heart, it facilitates getting emotional still. And it's effortless. Just put your attention there. What could be simpler? Not now. We're doing an interview now.
Well, you already answered this, but I have more questions on the healing effects of music.
Yes.
So I'm interested in using dance and movement as a healing practice.
Good.
And I'm also interested in the intelligence of our body, because in our culture we have been taught that when we're not feeling good, there is always someone else that knows more than us about what we need, which is in some cases is true. Like if the problem has become physical to the point that we do need to go to the doctor, I believe that it's a good thing. It's very important. But at the same time, I do believe that the more I work with movement and with breath and with sound that comes from my own voice, the more I'm able to attune to my own rhythms. So what do you think, how does music affect the human body? For example, when you say the heart center, is there a particular frequency that resonates with the heart center?
If you could measure it, it's wildly changing many times every second.
Wow.
So to say it's this frequency is ridiculous.
Okay.
If you're feeling calm and then you get excited, a huge big jump in frequency.
Because I was listening to a woman, she's a musician.
Yes.
Who works with sound healing, and she showed me this map. This map of the musical tones and how they can...
Yeah, so, well, many people have many ideas. Well, I've done a whole study of what frequencies correspond to which chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And with all due respect to all these different systems, I can only talk about my own truth. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be disrespectful to any system at all.
Yeah.
And I may be 100% wrong. But my understanding is that's all totally ridiculous. Why? Because it's changing frequencies wildly, millions of times a second. It's not a static thing. You're not dead. You know, it's not static. You're an alive being. You have fluctuating emotions all the time. You have fluctuating energy levels all the time. You have fluctuating health levels all the time. You have fluctuating relaxation or tension levels all the time. So those frequencies are changing continuously. So to say that this chakra is this frequency is such a ridiculous oversimplification of reality. So I don't buy into that at all, but I say that with great respect due to all these other systems. That's just simply my own personal understanding.
Okay. I would like to ask you some personal questions about your life.
I bet you would. Okay, let's go.
What is your relationship to your native country, Greece?
I love Greece. Well, I left Greece when I was 4 years old. I've revisited it many times. I may be revisiting it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Greece. The wisdom, the national wisdom of Greece is enjoy life, don't take it too seriously, enjoy life. That's the wisdom of Greece. Different than Tibet. Yeah. The one place in Greece that I feel closest to is Delphi, Greece.
I've been.
Yes. Now, Delphi is considered a very popular tourist site because of all the temples that are there. But the reason I'm drawn to Delphi is not because it's visually spectacular. And it is visually spectacular because of all these temples on the hillside. But the reason I'm drawn to Delphi is because it's one of the vortex spots on the planet. It's one of the acupuncture points on planet Earth. Wow. Just like Fuji or Mount Shasta or the Great Pyramids or Machu Picchu, Delphi, Greece is a meridian, an acupuncture point on the planet, a vortex spot like Sedona, Arizona. And so when I'm in Delphi, it feels like the top of my head lifts off and I have direct access to the whole cosmos. I love that feeling. So I'm very drawn to Delphi, Greece. But for fun, I love the Greek islands. The Greek islands are a lot of fun. And, of course, very beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful waters.
Yeah. Oh, man, the water's so clear. The water's so clear in Greece. And the reason is, It's rocky, so the bottom is not sandy, it's not muddy, it's rocky. And because it's rocky, there's not a lot of sand floating in the water, so it's very clear. It's so clear that people can be snorkeling, and you can go out 10 feet, but it could be like 80 feet down, even though you're just 10 feet from the surface.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out 10 feet from the land, and it might be 80 feet down, you look down, they get height dizziness, they get vertigo.
Wow.
Snorkeling, because it looks like they're going to fall. They don't see the water.
That's crazy.
It looks like they get height dizziness from snorkeling because the water's so clear, they think they're going to fall to the bottom.
Wow. Okay. Are you working on any music right now?
Yes. You know, they asked Duke Ellington once, what's your favorite piece of music? And Duke Ellington said, oh, it's always the same one. They said, which one is that? He says, the one I'm working on now.
Awesome.
And so, yes, I'm working on a piece of music right now. And I don't want to say too much about it, but I'll say this. This music is a depiction of suddenly waking up in a new realm, a new dimension. And everything's very strange and new, but yet somehow it seems deeply familiar, mm-hmm. somehow. And that's the feeling I'm trying to get in the music I'm working on now.
That's very interesting. I can't wait to hear.
I can't wait to hear it.
And do you ever listen to your earlier records? Interdimensional Music is an incredible album. Would you share any memory around the period of your life when you were composing it?
Well, that's a big question. What memories do you want? You
know, okay, let's
I
start.
I could talk
with,
for days about.
Let's
memories.
Start with. Do you listen to? Okay. Okay. Do you listen to your earlier records?
Yeah, sometimes. If I've created something recently, it's still so fresh in my mind that it's not that much fun to listen to. But if I haven't heard it in like half a year, then it's fun to listen to it. It says, oh, that's very clever. or that was really a happy piece, you know. But if I haven't listened to it in a while, then it's fun listening to it, yeah.
Okay, and let me...
But most of the listening I do is not my music, and it's not other people's music. Most of the listening I do is listening inside my head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people say, well, how can you hear music in your head? And I can explain that in a way that people can get it. Think of some song that you love very much. Okay, now, play that song in your head right now. It's like that. Only it's music that doesn't exist yet. You can hear music in your head just like you can hear your favorite song in your head. But it's music that doesn't exist yet. That is what I do most of my listening at.
In your mind?
Yes.
And then you transcribe it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a step-down transformer for Vista. I'm a local branch office for Vista.
Amazing. Yes, I love your album, Interdimensional Music.
Thank you.
And I was wondering if you want to share with us any memory.
I'll give you one memory.
Wait, maybe I should ask it clear so that... when they receive the question.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm...
Go ahead.
With my accent and everything.
No, you have a wonderful accent.
Yeah? Okay, cool. So, I love your album, Interdimensional Music.
Grazie.
Grazie a te. Would you like to share any memory around that period of your life while you were making the album?
I can think of one fun memory right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share it. Once in my recording studio, I needed to record some flute part, which is very, very difficult. And I recorded it over and over again, over and over again. And I was getting excited because I couldn't get it just right. I kept recording the flute part, and I kept recording it over and over again so many times I finally got exhausted. So I figured, well, let me take a break, rest a few minutes, and I'll try it again. So while I was sitting in my recording studio resting, I looked at my wall, and I had a poster on my wall. And it was a poster of Shiva. And in this poster, common in India, Shiva had snakes around his neck, and he was holding a bowl in his left hand, and his right hand was the palm facing straight out, like this. A bowl in his left hand, the right hand straight out. While I was resting, Shiva came out from that poster and became a three-dimensional light being, and he sent me a thought, do what I'm doing. So you copy the position of Shiva like that, okay. Do what I'm doing. So I extended my left hand. Now, bowl represents reception, and the left hand is receptive side, the right hand is the transmitting side. So I did what he was doing like this, and then we created an electrical circuit where his right hand was transmitting into my receptive left hand, and my right hand was transmitting into his receptive bowl in his left hand, and that created a circuit of energy.
Wow.
And with that circuit of energy, I got so excited so fast that after about 30 seconds, I had so much energy, I had to stop, and I went back to record the flute, and I got the flute part first try.
Wow.
So how's that for a little, thank you, Shiva.
Thank you, Shiva. We have a Shiva there.
Yeah.
Dancing Shiva.
Yeah, so that was one memory.
Okay. And, many of the songs, of your songs' titles, have mythological names, names of planets, names of mythological beings. Are you interested in mythology?
No, not at all. I'm not interested at all in mythology. But I am interested in actual alive light beings that happen to have the same name.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Hercules is in Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an actual being named Hercules, who's the Elohim of the first ray, the blue ray. Most people have heard of Archangel Michael. Above, higher up than Archangel Michael's Elohim Hercules. Archangel Michael gets his energy from Elohim Hercules, higher up. So I did a piece on my Elixir album called Blue Fire Realms, and that's a musical rendition of Hercules. Now, another name for the being that I work with, Vista, another name he goes by is Cyclopea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Greek mythology, they talk about the Cyclops. The Cyclops is a human distortion of Cyclopea, because one of his specialties is the all-seeing eye of God, which means a highly developed third eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you see that, it's one eye. And in Greek mythology, they distorted that into a monster with one eye. But it comes from Cyclopea, who's a highly developed being with a highly developed third eye, totally highly developed third eye. So I'm not interested in mythology at all, because it's a horrible, horrible, horrible distortion of actual perfected divine beings.
Wow.
Like Athena, the goddess of truth. You know, these are alive beings. They're for real. But the humans tend to give them, project imperfect qualities on them, because humans are imperfect. They figure they must be imperfect too. Like, the gods are vengeful, the gods are jealous. No, they're not. They're not vengeful, they're not jealous. They're divine light beings. So, many of these names correspond to Greek mythology or other mythologies. But the mythologies are human, terrible, horrible distortions of actual divine, perfected beings. And those are the beings I'm interested in.
Okay.
For example, Helios and Vesta are the sun gods, sun goddess for our sun and our solar system. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones responsible for keeping it together on a spiritual level, for radiating spiritual energy to the entire solar system.
And so are you saying that in a way... it is humanity that creates the good and evil, or that it belongs more to humanity? That it, because it, to me, to the small I know, it seems to be light and dark in all aspects and maybe dimensions.
Not all dimensions, no. Right now we're transitioning from the third to the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth dimension, there's more light, less dark. And then when you go to the fifth, there's... even less dark and more light. When you go to the sixth and seventh, it's all light. And from then on, it's all light. So the darkness is only on the lower dimensions.
Amazing. Do you have any advice for younger artists and musicians?
there's a YouTube video I have out,
mm-hmm.
available if they look up Yasos, I-A-S-O-S, on YouTube, which is called Tips for Aspiring Musicians.
Oh, great.
Tips for Aspiring Musicians. And that has a lot of my advice there. They can just find it very easily. Just in YouTube, look up Yasos, then find the ones with Tips for Aspiring Musicians. But the main advice I'll tell you right now is this. No matter what you do with music or with any art, you cannot please everyone. Because people will like art that is created by similar consciousness as they have. So when I create music, people that have a similar consciousness as me will like my music, and people with a different consciousness as me will not like my music. I'm perfectly fine with that arrangement. That's fine. I'm happy with that. You know, not everyone will like my music, but I know that people whose consciousness is like me will love my music if I love it. You see? Therefore, don't guess what other musicians will like and try to get create music that you think other people will like. Please yourself. Because if you're trying to please other people, you're guessing. You don't really know what other people like. You're guessing. You're stabbing in the dark. And so you're wasting your time. Whereas if you please yourself, do music that you like, then you can just know with absolute confidence in advance that if I like it, then other people that have a similar consciousness, a similar mindset as me, will also like it. That way you're not guessing. You know what you like. Mm-hmm. Create what you like, and other people that are like you will also like it. And others that are not like you will hate it. And that's fine. I'm happy with that arrangement.
I think there is a quote by Joseph Campbell that said, follow your bliss. What does this mean to you?
A more accurate way of putting it is follow your excitement. But it's a similar meaning, yes. Mm-hmm. That's excellent advice. It's wonderful advice. And here's why. When your higher self projected a part of itself to create a human incarnation, which is you or me, once that incarnation was created, we have free will. We can do whatever we like, even if it's not what our higher self wants us to do. Now, it loves us because it is us. So it loves us. It would never trick us or fool us. It loves us. It cares about us. It wants us to be happy and not suffering. So it tries to send you signals for which way to go. You might think, I should go this way. But your higher self sees a bigger picture of what's happening. So if you go that way, you'll have to run into problems. Well, you should go this way instead. But you don't see that from here. So it tries to send you signals for what to do. And when you're aligned with your higher self, you experience a feeling which you call excitement. Excitement happens automatically when you're in resonance with your higher self, when you're following the guidance of your higher self. Therefore, the practical rule or suggestion is this. A few times every day, ask yourself, of everything that I could possibly do right now, that's available to me to do right now, which is the most exciting option? And simply do whichever one of the things that are possible that's most exciting. And if you do that, you'll end up following your higher self. And if you do that, you'll have to be much more fun, much fewer hassles, much less suffering, much more joy and bliss by following your higher self. Now here's the trick. Some people might think, okay, let me think. Of all things I could do right now, I could study, I could create music, I could go to McDonald's and have a French fries. Well, the most exciting option is to go to McDonald's and get French fries. Then you might think, well, there's nothing very profound about that. Don't worry, if it's the most exciting option, just do it anyway. Because as you're walking to McDonald's, you might unexpectedly meet a friend from 10 years ago. And you might start a conversation, and as it turns out, he might have something he can help you with your career. And you may end up not even going to McDonald's. But because you followed your guidance, to follow your excitement, you end up meeting him. Mm. So you can follow your excitement. It's like a compass from your higher self. Go this way, go this way. So when you're considering which ways to do things, and you go for the most exciting option, that's your higher self. Yeah, yeah, do that, do that, do that. Go that way. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Do that, do that. This is your higher self guiding you like a compass. And so when you follow your bliss, or more accurately, follow your excitement, then you are aligned with your higher self. And as a result of that, everything goes much better because your higher self can see much bigger what's happening, what's about to happen around you than you can see. It's like if a person's driving in a big city and he's going in a particular direction, he might not know that 10 blocks away there's a block on that street. He needs to turn. But your higher self is like someone in a helicopter looking down. You can see all that. Mm. He said, no, no, don't go straight. But that's the most direct way. Yeah, it's the most direct way, but there's a block there. Go this way. So it might tell you other ways. I could give you many examples of that in my life, but that would take up time. But the point is, when you're following your excitement, you're following the guidance from your higher self.
Okay. So do you think that if there is like too many obstacles into creating a project, maybe that's not the right project to do?
It's hard to give a general answer to that.
Yeah.
But in general, if you're following your excitement, if your excitement is still there, do it. If your excitement fades out, don't do it.
Okay. This is a question for fun.
One more thing. Yeah. I want to add that. When I say follow your excitement, that means follow your excitement for all the options that are available that you can do without hurting anyone else and without hurting yourself. Don't hurt anybody else and don't hurt yourself. So anything that's exciting, except for that. Don't hurt other people, don't hurt yourself.
But maybe this, I don't know if you will go in the interview.
Okay.
But the not hurting yourself is hard to understand, to know what's going to happen if you...
Just from what you know, just from what you're aware of. Okay. Just from what's immediately obvious. You don't need to make it fancy or tricky or mysterious. Just from what's in your face obvious right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. So let me see, because I had a lot of questions, and I think we're almost
done. So soon? Oh, come on.
I think it's an hour show, and she will want to play some music, some of your songs.
Yes.
In the middle as well. So
play Smooth Sailing over Enchanted Lands.
Wait, I don't have the Siri. Is it on Spotify?
It's all on Spotify, yeah. Smooth Sailing over Enchanted Lands.
Oh, I think I was playing that this morning.
I think it's on Essence of Lemuria. The Internet of Essence of Lemuria there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Smooth Sailing over Enchanted Lands. There we go. Yeah, but not now during the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a happy piece.
You're telling her. I thought you were telling the...
No, I'm not saying play it now, but I mean, okay. If you're going to put in music, put in that one.
Sure. Do you have any other requests?
No.
Okay. She has a very nice curatorial?
Library.
Library. No, she has a nice taste for picking...
Good taste for picking music.
Yes.
Good.
So, let me just have a quick look at the questions. So, we have talked about how your music takes shapes, right?
Really? What shape does it take?
I don't know. Do you know?
I don't even understand the question.
When I say how does it take shape, is like the creative process through which your music comes to life.
It starts off as a vague idea, mm-hmm. Then it gets progressively more and more solidified until it materializes. One thing I've learned in my working with music is no matter how difficult or impossible some musical project might seem, I know from experience, and I know this now with absolute faith, that all I have to do is keep focusing my attention there and all the details do fall into place. And always, no exception. Always, no exception. So, you get ideas, and there might be just a faint idea, and just keep focusing your attention there, and all the details start materializing, and then the song starts materializing, and boom, pretty soon it's a finished song.
Mm.
All you have to do is, with absolute faith, keep your attention focused on that piece of music, and it will materialize. Absolutely, always.
I think I asked you most of the things I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Okay, now put the paper down and just look in your heart, what do you want to ask?
Okay.
Nice energy.
Okay. So from my own experience as a workshop facilitator for movement-based workshops, I'm wondering if this work could be applied more to men, because now...
What work?
The work on movement healing could be applied more to men, but it looks like now it's more women that are interested.
Yeah, women are more in touch with expressing themselves through body than men are. However, the good news is this.
Mm-hmm.
Men, we're at a period in history right now where men are gradually getting more and more in touch with their feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
More men are beginning to wake up and realize their feminine side. I have to tell you an interesting story. Many years ago, I had a profound experience where I very suddenly became aware of the feminine aspect of my own being. It was a very profound experience. And the feminine aspect of my being, it's as if on the floor, a trapdoor opened and a genie came up and swirled around my body and came to me, and it was the feminine aspect of me. And it totally loved me the way every man would love to have his woman love him like that. And I felt myself as a woman for the first time ever, I felt myself as a woman. So I stood up, I felt myself as a woman, I thought, oh my God, this is so open and vulnerable. Women actually go through a whole lifetime like this? How can they do it? It is so open. It is so receptive. It is so vulnerable. Wow! It was almost scary because of men. We have layers and layers of armor that we're wearing. But women, it's like wide open. Wow! That was a profound experience for me. So in general, more and more men are now gradually beginning to open up and get more receptive to the feminine aspect of their being. Mm. So that will gradually, slowly be happening more and more.
Okay. And oh my God, I have a block now.
Kiss your block.
I asked most of the things kiss I wanted your block. To please. maybe let's take a 5 minutes break. Are you up for that?
Sure.
Okay. I think we already have some really interesting material. Okay, we have 1 hour and 6 now.